The days are longer, the calendar is filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grüns. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, so I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing, they're easy to toss in my bag on the go, plus they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA and FSA, eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grüns.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Go on the internet and you'll find all sorts of substances and devices that claim to be aphrodisiacs. But it's always been that way. Even in 18th century Ireland, newspapers carried adverts for them, while folk medicine suggested various foods that would not only make you fertile, but explode with passion. Leanne Calvert is a historian in the University of Limerick. Afternoon, Leanne.
Hi, Sean.
Now, the idea of aphrodisiacs has been around for a long time, I suppose, and is still around the place. In Ireland, though, was this kind of a folk remedy?
Well, there is examples of it being a folk remedy. Most of the work I have done so far on this topic is looking at what information was available to people about aphrodisiacs. So pamphlets were available at this time period that offered people a lot of advice about how to get pregnant and how it's to manage those things. Now, these were primarily printed elsewhere, but they would have been available to people in Ireland as well. And these would tell people that if you wanted to get pregnant, how you could do that through food. So there was this sort of belief that if you were having issues in getting pregnant, it was because the sex that you were having wasn't passionate enough. So food was one way of helping that out. But there's definitely evidence that this kind of information was passed down through families as well.
And these particular foods, they were supposed to, as I understand it, they were supposed to make that you weren't hot enough in the literal sense that you weren't fecund enough if you weren't hot enough.
Yes. So there's this idea that in order to help that side of things, that you have to heat up the body. So to heat up the body, you would have to eat things that could help that along. So things like spices were helpful. As well as other foods like eggs were supposed to be helpful in that side as well. But there's also a belief that if you eat plants and animals that resemble parts of the body, it helps ailments in those parts of the body. So things like carrots were thought to be helpful because they resemble a penis because of the shape of them. So those were meant to help you along as well.
Yeah. And so the idea was if you ate these foods, would it just make you more fertile or make you more randy?
Each of those things. So it would also, the heat could help you, it's produce more seed, which would help you be able to get pregnant, but it could also make you randy as well. And there was a really common aphrodisiac that a lot of people would have heard of in Ireland as well as outside of Ireland. And it was known as the Spanish fly. And you're still able to buy this, by the way, on the internet, but I do not recommend anybody buys it. But it's a small insect and it has a reputation as an aphrodisiac because it heats up the body. And even though this was recommended, they also cautioned against it because it could cause illness as well. And it could also be fatal. Now, you could see the Spanish fly advertised for sale in shops, and it would be advertised in the papers. But you also see examples in its papers of places where people had been spiked with the Spanish fly and the consequences that followed as a result. The people were very aware of the properties of these things and how it's to use them.
And what did the various churches in Ireland think about all this?
I'm not too sure. It's a really excellent question. I've not come across any sort of discussion of these for the period of time that I work on. But the next sort of thing that I intend to have a look at is food and sex across the history of Ireland. So it'd be something I will try to find the answer out, but I'm not too sure at all.
Leanne Calvert is a historian of family, gender and sexuality and director of the University of Limerick's Master's Programme in History of the Family. Leanne, thank you very much.
Thank you, Sean.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.